Hi, this is Rini Premenza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. It's the best live radio show in New Jersey that discusses everything and anything about our favorite companion pet, the dog. I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny.
And I'm your host, Rini Premenza, the Jersey dog trainer.
This week, Rini and I will be discussing barrier frustration. If your dog ever becomes hysterical behind windows, doors, or gates, when someone they normally would be friendly to inside the home walks past your house, chances are the dog has barrier frustration. As always, we look forward to any and all of your questions that you might have about your dog's behavior. So we encourage you to feel free to call us anytime on Thursdays between 10 and 10:30 a.m. at 856-227-1360. The number again is 856-227-1360, and we'll do the best that we can to answer any questions that you have. You can also email us by visiting Rini's website. Her website is jerseydogtrainer.com, or you could visit my website at thedogsupernanny.com. In a moment, Rini and I are going to discuss barrier frustration and give you some tips and teach you how to prevent it and all those good things. But first, Rini would like to share with you some of the services that she offers in the South Jersey area as a trainer and certified behavior consultant.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premenza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
The dog super nanny, and this morning we're going to be discussing barrier frustration. Barrier frustration is really common, and you know, we've all seen, you know, the dogs going hysterical behind, you know, glass doors as you're walking past people's houses, and you know, many times these very same dogs, you know, greet you on walks or very friendly like, or you may visit your family or friends and the dog is so sweet when you come walking through the door. But for some reason, whenever they're behind that glass, they look like Cujo. And, you know, this is something that develops over time, and barrier frustration is just that. It's a state of frustration when a dog sees something that it wants to go play with or greet or get involved in, and it can't because something is preventing it from doing so. And it may start out very, you know, the dog might whine and complain, but over time, if those barriers persist, the behavior begins to escalate. And a barrier does not necessarily have to be a door. It could be a leash. It could be a crate that the dog is kept in. It could be windows. It could be doors, as we mentioned earlier. It could be a fence, a gate. It could even be the owner. And we've seen, you know, you've seen this probably at some point in your life where, you know, a dog is all excited and it's hysterical and it's barking and it's lunging. The owner's trying to stand in front of it, and sometimes the owner could get bit. And, you know, then feelings are hurt and the dog might get yelled at. It's just a bad, bad situation for all around. So what we're going to discuss today is how to prevent that from happening, number one, and what to do when you do have that situation. I have an interesting case that I'll discuss with you in just a moment. But what happens when you have a young dog, and, you know, this could be a dog that you adopted at an older age, but usually dogs that develop this barrier frustration, sometimes they might have some insecurities. They may not be, they might be a little shy, or they might be just like a happy-go-lucky dog. But if they are not provided with enough socialization as puppies, meaning greeting all kinds of people, having people come into the house, walking past the home, all these kinds of things, this can develop very quickly, and it can be quite difficult to rectify. So what you want to do from the get-go is when you have your dog on a leash, you want to teach them self-control. We want to let them know that, look, you can go see, you know, our friend across the street, but you know what? We have to do it patiently. There's no rush. We can have fun doing it, and eventually you're going to get there. So if, you know, if you have a dog that's pulling on the leash and pulling you towards people, you know, there's a good chance that your dog can be, developing this barrier frustration. So what I recommend is, as a puppy, teach good leash manners, give them a little treat for when they're walking nicely, if they see somebody that they like, if they walk calmly by your side, give them a little pat on the head, or give them a little treat, or take out a toy or something that they enjoy, so that they can learn patience moving towards that object. You also want to practice, and this could be at a dog of any age, you know, you want to kind of gauge, when does the dog become hysterical? Is the dog hysterical when the person is directly in front of your house, or is it when they see the person, you know, two blocks away? At what point does the dog become reactive? And once you can you can write this down on a little notepad, you know, gee, my dog's okay when my neighbor comes out of their house, but as soon as they hit the sidewalk, then my dog goes nuts. So what you can do is, you know, you can knock on your neighbor's door and say, look, you know, I have a problem with my dog. He's getting hysterical behind the glass. Would you mind maybe doing a training with me? Or you can even hire a trainer or have another friend come by. And you could practice routines where the person will go on your neighbor's porch, say, come out, and you would reward your dog for the calm behavior, okay? Let them go back in, come back out, do this over a series of days. As they move closer and closer to the home, what you want to do is keep training in calm, calm behaviors. So what you're doing is you're basically desensitizing the dog to it, and you're also creating like a classical conditioning approach, which means, you know, the dog is having a positive emotional state in association with the person coming to the house. But, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, you know, we've taken our kids to the movies. We've taken our kids to, you know, water parks and things like that. And, you know, they're jumping up and down, and, you know, they're pulling on your arm to get where they got to go. And, you know, we have to teach this patience. Rini, do you have any input on any suggestions or comments about barrier frustration?
Well, barrier frustration can sometimes be a little confusing to diagnose, because a lot of these same symptoms happen when a dog becomes territorial.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I was going to talk to you about that and maybe suggest to the owners how they can recognize the difference, or can territorial behavior either come as a result of barrier frustration or vice versa?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't really believe in the whole territorial behavioral theory.
Really?
I call it threat assessment reactivity.
Okay.
TAR.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, technically, from a scientific approach, it's not a cross-species phenomenon, territorial behavior, in the scientific definition of territorial. It's same species phenomenon. It's not a cross-species phenomenon. So for a dog to become territorial over its house to a human, it just doesn't really make sense. On the other hand, you know, the dog can feel threatened. It can feel hysterical. It can also be resource guarding. I think that would be a better description than territorial aggression. And eventually, my goal is to have territorial aggression as in the dog world be reclassified as threat assessment reactivity.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, the thing that you want to know, if a dog is territorial, so we'll just use territorial for argument's sake here. But you know, a dog that's territorial is going to be territorial even when you get in the house. They're going to be nasty. They're going to avoid you. They might actually come after you, but usually when a dog is confronted that close,
mm-hmm.
they kind of retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
They feel very threatened, so they might, you know, take a place on the other side of the room and bark at you and kind of do threatening behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a dog that has barrier frustration might be hysterically barking at the front door, but then when you come in, they're like, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're kissing you, and they're giving you a nice, jolly greeting.
Well, I have a question, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So if a dog is suffering from barrier frustration, and let's say he's on the leash, okay, and you're walking your dog, and the dog is barking, carrying on. He's hysterical because he sees another dog up ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how would you determine, or can you determine, whether or not once you would reach that other dog, that this dog is then going to be friendly once you release the leash, once you would loosen up the leash? Doesn't barrier frustration then cause anger?
I believe so. I mean, you know, we're dealing with two different things here now. Now it starts to get really messy. you know, we can. You know, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great topic, but it can be messy.
Yeah.
You know, there are those dogs that are just frustrated by the leash, and then when they get to the other dog, they're friendly and happy. But to be honest with you, I do not recommend that you let any dog that's hysterical and growling and lunging on a leash approach another dog.
Correct. That's
okay,
good advice.
It can easily end up in a dog fight because the dog is in such a hyper vigilant and excited state of mind. That's not what we want to have, you know, other dogs be greeted by. It's inappropriate and it's out of context.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, I'm not sure if it was you that referred me to an article or if I just picked up on this somewhere, and I'm sorry, I don't remember where,
mm-hmm.
but there are experts out there who advise that no dog, while being walked, should actually be allowed to greet another dog, that these dogs should be taught to pay attention to the owner, you know, and walk quietly and calmly, that it is not necessary to have the dog meet and greet every single dog that they see along the way. And in some cases, I think that is a good practice to do. But you
it
have
is,
to know your
I,
dog.
If I lived on a foreign planet, as Gene Donaldson used in that culture class.
Right. That's right.
Kind of used that whole concept of living on a foreign
on
planet.
On Gorham, yeah.
You know, and I saw people, you know, I'd want to go greet them. I mean, I'm living with a foreign species.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to go see my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that generally that's a good rule.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we also, you know, the dog is never going to get practice at approaching other dogs politely.
Well, wait, can I just interject something?
Yeah.
Yes, if let's say you feel that you have a dog that could be prone to this, or your dog is pulling, and, you know, you're trying to teach the dog to walk on a loose leash, but you're not having a whole lot of success with it. I definitely, if your dog is pulling, I would not allow the dog to meet any dog along the walk, because just that pulling, you know, the dog is pulling forward, the handler is pulling backwards, that's what's causing frustration.
Exactly.
So if they approach the other dog, you know, the longer it takes to approach the other dog, the more frustrated that your dog feels, and by the time he gets to this, or with repeated practice, this then turns from frustration into out and out anger.
Can I just interject? When I do have a dog that has these issues, And I do want him to socialize. What I'll suggest to the person with the dog, if they don't mind, I'll ask them, do you mind if we walk together?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put the hysterical dog either out front or behind the other dog. Some dogs are more comfortable being out front. Some are not as comfortable being out front. They'd rather be behind so they could smell the scent of the other dog. And I keep like a good like 10, 15 feet distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk the dogs, and then, you know, something amazing starts to happen, after, you know, the hysterics calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I do walk aways and I turn around and walk the opposite way whenever the dog reacts so that, you know, the dog knows that if you become reactive, you don't get to go where you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're calm, we continue. So what I'll do is I'll walk the dogs, and eventually you start seeing ground sniffing taking place and body language starting to relax. And, you know, the dog starts having a different relationship with this other dog. It's not just, oh, let's go up and greet and, you know, put nose to nose and be real close and frustrated. But they're actually getting that energy out. They're getting more relaxed. They're sending each other calming signals, sniffing the ground, shaking off, licking their lips, doing these kinds of things, and being dogs, because dogs travel.
Karen,
they don't just stand still. And I think that's a big problem with owners on walks. They go, oh, let me go greet this dog, and then the dog stands still. It's not natural for dogs to just stand there.
Right.
They
Karen, we need to just take a break for a minute, but when we come back, if you don't mind, I would like to discuss the type of equipment that you use when you're working with a frustrated dog, especially on walks. So maybe we can talk about that when we come back.
Okay, I just want to talk about one case before you go into that when we return.
Okay, sure. We'll be right back.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. This is the best radio talk show on in the South Jersey area and on the Internet. I want to welcome you back to us. We're here from 10 to 10:30. If you would like to give us a call and discuss any issues that your dog may have, you can give us a call at 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. Our topic today, Karen is giving us a little bit of instruction about dogs that become frustrated behind barriers such as leashes, crates, windows, doors, anything that would block the dog from meeting or going to investigate something that he sees in front of him or in his environment. So, Karen, you were talking about, you know, how difficult it could be when a dog is out on the leash, walking on the leash, and feeling frustrated because he can't get to meet or greet another dog fast enough. What kind of equipment would you recommend to dog owners out there if their dogs are hysterical on the leash? What would you recommend that they use for this?
My favorite product, I would say hands down, of all the tools that I use, I like the Easy Walk No Pull Harness. I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You're avoiding that whole sensation on the neck, which basically itself, the collar, could be a trigger. You know, if the dog starts to feel tension on the collar, it becomes reactive, and most dogs all walk with a collar.
Right.
And the Easy Walk harness clips in the front. So it gives you marvelous control over the dog's direction and also pulling. It's not, it keeps the dog from pulling as much. It kind of actually, inhibits that a little bit, and dogs love it. I mean, I had some really great success with that with my German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Another product that's wonderful is the Halty.
Mm-hmm.
That's similar to the
Gentle Leader.
What's it? The Gentle Leader, mm-hmm. except the Halty has an extra strap that hangs from the chin. And you could actually clip that to the collar, so just in case, you know, the Halty comes loose, which it doesn't, but, you know, I mean, hey, anything can happen. So if it comes off, you know, the Halty's still connected to the collar,
mm-hmm.
so it gives you, like, a double safety.
You can also connect it to your Easy Walk harness, can't you, or no?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You can, absolutely.
Yeah, so you have double control.
Those are the two products that I recommend. Do you have any that you...
Well, I've been using the Gentle Leader, but I think I'm going... I honestly have never tried the Halty, but I think I like the idea of having that strap. To be able to connect it to an, you know, additional, control source like the collar or the Easy Walk harness. But you know what? There are dogs around here, and I'm sure you're working with them too, that are big and muscular, and very, very strong. So how do you work with these dogs when they get hysterical, if they want to greet another dog, or if they start, you know, trying to get to the other dog and you hear them growling? What do you do in that situation?
What I usually do is, one, I want to find out exactly when does it happen. I mean, does it happen when the dog sees another dog walking or a person walking, you know, a block away, or is it when the person's approaching us? Or, you know, you got to figure out at what point does the dog become reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And just becoming still and the ears go up and, it, you know, looking at the object, to me that's reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dog is in a hypervigilant state. And most people wait for the dog to become hysterical and say,
exactly.
Okay, this is the point where the dog becomes
numb. Exactly. And I'll tell you the truth. One of my instructions to all of my clients that have this issue to deal with is don't let your dog stare at the other dog.
Correct.
As soon as they start staring, it's going to take a nanosecond before you get a very inappropriate reaction.
Exactly. So what I usually do with these dogs, and it really works well, is I wait for the dog, and usually this dog will offer some sort of calming signal before it starts to stare, before it gets frozen. When it starts to feel uncomfortable, you might notice that the dog starts sniffing the ground, or it might shake off, or it might start licking his lips. And at that point, I tell the dog, good job, let's run. And we start running in the opposite direction.
So you're using behavior adjustment training here, right? It's called BAT, B-A-T. We had a discussion on here. If anybody wants to listen to the podcast, we had a discussion about this several months ago.
Right. I mean, it's a great technique. And you know what? I'm at a loss as to what the website is to go see it.
Mm-hmm. All they have to do is type in a Google search behavior adjustment training
or BAT,
and BAT, and they'll come to videos and everything else. So it's
and that could teach you how to do that. And you know what? Mm-hmm. You use that technique over and over, and what you do, and you're really building a bond of trust because mm-hmm. you're able to read your dog. The dog can rely on you mm-hmm. that when it starts to get nervous, you're right there to rescue him. You know, you're right there by his side to prevent him from getting in sticky situations.
Karen, you said you're working on a case right now that you're finding very interesting.
Yeah, you know, I did want to tell you that I'm working with a very large pit bull. He's a blue pit bull, and he has some serious crate aggression. And what the owner was doing is she had the crate. When you walk through the door, you go down the stairs and you go down this long corridor, and at the back door is the dog's crate.
Oh, my goodness.
And she tried hiring a dog walker, but by the time they got downstairs, the dog was, I mean, really in a bad state.
Mm-hmm.
It was growling. It was really threatening them, and the owner was terrified to let the dog out of the crate.
Sure.
So what I suggested that they do is take the crate upstairs and put it in right near the front door,
mm-hmm.
maybe 5 feet or so away. Because what was happening, I proved my hypothesis by testing this out, is that when the people came through the door, when the dog walker came through the door, all these steps towards the crate, the lengthy time that it took, the dog got itself worked up so bad
mm-hmm.
that by the time they got to the crate, he was beyond reason.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So he doesn't know what's going on.
We moved the crate closer to the door, and the owner was not pleased with it because they had this beautiful house and hardwood floors and all this stuff. And I says, look, you have a pit bull terrier, and I'm telling you, move the crate here. Let's give it a try. And I also angled the crate so that when a person is approaching the crate, they're approaching the dog from the side,
right,
not head on.
Right. That's great.
So when actually I did dog walking for them this past Tuesday. I came into the house unannounced. I opened the door. I approached the crate, and I stood. You don't want to face the crate. You want to stand next to it. And I faced forward. I reached down. I unlatched the thing, and he was just a sweetie pie.
Mm-hmm.
He was so happy to see me. He did not get worked up.
Mm-hmm.
So this technique has proven very effective for the dog.
Good. That's great. So I was wondering, though, would you ever have been concerned that even though you weren't facing the crate, that he would be lunging and biting at your hands as you were trying to unlatch the gate?
You know, it's interesting because when I did do that, when he was down in that corridor, yes, he was trying to lunge and bite me.
Okay.
And this time he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bark, but it wasn't a threatening bark. It was
he
like, a, hey, how
okay.
are you kind of bark.
Okay. All right.
So he didn't get himself all worked up to that point. I didn't take him outside right away. I engaged him in some training, sit,
right.
touch my hand,
right.
Let's walk this way. So, you know, we played some games
mm-hmm.
after our walk. So,
mm-hmm.
He has a really good experience so that the next time somebody comes in there to walk him, you know, he'll remember those experiences.
And he doesn't have
enjoy it more.
He doesn't have leash aggression?
No.
Just having to do with the crate?
Yes.
I would wonder why somebody would want to isolate a dog so far away from where most of the activity goes on in the home. Why would he have to be down in the basement and down a long corridor? Good grief. It's like it sounds like he was in a prison.
Well, you know what? When the owners are home, the dog is free roaming throughout the house. I mean, he does have, you know, but when they're not home, they want to keep him down in that crate. They thought it was great. It's
right.
by the back door, so he could be let outside. It's where the leashes are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mud room, so
right.
it doesn't matter if it's dirty. And unfortunately, you know, it was not the best situation. You know, I mean, if I was put down there, I would feel like I'm being abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
You're not in the living space of the home. Which
not
is
only
comfort
that.
In itself.
Not only that, Karen, can you imagine how frightened he might be being down there isolated?
Mm-hmm.
He hears somebody coming into the house. He doesn't
yeah.
know who it is. You know, any dog might feel protective of his environment.
Exactly.
And he hears the door open. He hears somebody walking upstairs. He hears somebody
mm-hmm.
coming downstairs. I'd be wetting my pants by the time somebody would come and get me.
Exactly.
You know, really.
You know, they you know, in scary movies, they play the sounds of loud heartbeats and footsteps, boom,
mm-hmm.
boom. Because it's
sure.
scary.
Yeah,
and it's just as scary to our dog.
Right. And somebody
you know?
Actually who might have been their dog walker should have really been talking to the dog the whole time that they would
mm-hmm.
be going down the basement and talking to the dog so that the dog
mm-hmm.
recognizes that person's voice. You know what I'm thinking, Karen? I mean, we only have 2 minutes left, but what I'm thinking is, and we talked about what a big subject this is together, you know, before we started the show today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, since we have another week to this month, that we should talk about it a little bit more next week about, you know, we'll review it in the beginning of the show, and then I'd like to talk about ways in which to not just prevent it, but what do you do once you see that the behavior is happening?
Right.
So there's lots to talk about there. We can talk about, you know, how we teach the dog to pay attention and how what are methods of teaching a dog to walk on a loose leash and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And so I think that we could have a really interesting show to continue on with this topic next week. How do you think? What do you think?
I love it.
Okay. That's
great.
I
love it.
Good. So we have a minute left. Karen, you had a great subject today. I really appreciate that. It was very interesting, and I hope that people will remember to tune in again next week on WNJC, 1360 AM from 10 to 10:30. to listen to Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny, and Rini Premeza, the Jersey dog trainer, while we educate all the dog owning community in our area and around the world, really, if you're listening on the internet, about all the behaviors that dogs can come up with, good behaviors, bad behaviors, and how to handle that, how to reinforce the good, and how to retrain the dog, not necessarily to correct the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you have a great week, Karen. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I hope our listeners have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week. See you later.
Okay, see you.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out of